You're listening to the Washington Weekly Review. I'm the Southeast Iowa Union's Kalen McCain. It's the week of July 13, 2024. Our local stories this week feature a river cleanup, elected officials' salary decisions, and Richland's homecoming. That's all coming up, but first, the big picture. Heavy rainfall in the last few months has ended all drought conditions across the Hawkeye State for the first time in 4 years. The weather's been a relief to many Southeast Iowa farmers after last year's exceptionally dry growing season. But the water comes with problems of its own. ISU Extension field agronomist Rebecca Vitito said humid conditions raised the risk of diseases like tar spot and gray leaf spots. But she said fungicide sprays could easily fix that issue if it came up.
I know one of the things that's going to be on a lot of people's minds is the potential for disease pressure to show up. Whether that's like gray leaf spot in corn, tar spot, just with the weather that we've had, those would be the two that are kind of like on my radar. So just encouraging folks to just keep an eye out for it, scout their fields, because I don't want them to spray too soon, but I also don't want us to wait and not spray either. So, you know, if it's getting close to that ear leaf, you know, then we probably do need to spray, and the forecast looks favorable for the disease to continue. But I also don't want us to spray yet if there's not anything out there.
Excessive runoff has also stripped fields of recently applied fertilizer and manure. On some farms, like Brian Hora's, the effect is already visible.
In the last few days, the nitrogen shortage in soybeans especially is really showing up. These wetter areas of fields and fields, even fields that are extremely well drained, have fairly large yellow spots, yellow areas in them. It's excessively wet, and those plants are trying to get nitrogen, but they just can't get enough to them yet. So, I don't know what that kind of problems that may cause in the soybeans, but they're definitely showing signs of stress with that.
Wet fields have also delayed hay cuttings, according to Ainsworth area farmer Dave Scuball.
It keeps raining and the ground's wet and it's real high humidity, so you can't get the hay to cure. You've got to get it completely dry to bale it. You've got to get it dry. You need dry ground and low humidity, and we haven't had that for about 2 or 3 weeks now. So
Jim Cutterback said he was hopeful that 2024 would bring a sizable harvest, although it's too soon to tell for sure. That introduces yet another worry, that corn and soy prices might plummet.
That is a concern, of course, commodity prices, because it looks like we're going to have a pretty good crop.
I mean, that's one of the other things I was going to ask is just like how you're feeling about yields this year, because everyone else I've asked so far has said, I'm not going to call that this far out.
We're set up for good yields if Mother Nature cooperates the rest of the way.
But it sounds like you're not too worried about that at this point?
Not yet. We're a long ways from harvest, let's put it that way.
Sure.
A lot of things can happen, so.
That's the big picture. We'll be back with the local news right after this. Todd Hahn Construction is an award-winning custom home builder with a 28-year history in the greater Iowa City area. Hahn's goal is to build you the finest quality custom home while providing you with a positive experience along the way. It's one of the many reasons they've been named the Iowa City Area Home Builder of the Year time and time again. A custom home is more than just a house. It's the culmination of a dream and years of hard work. Todd Hahn Construction makes that dream come true by always putting you, the customer, first. For more information, go to toddhahnconstruction.com. That's toddhahnconstruction.com. High waters forced Iowa Project AWARE to rethink its long-awaited cleanup efforts in the Skunk River this week. AWARE event director Nina Marquardt said volunteers were out on the river on Tuesday, but had to stick to tributaries and Lake Darling at some points in order to avoid dangerously deep spots or fast-moving currents.
We pride ourselves on being a family-friendly event, so we want to make sure that not only are they having a good time on whatever river we send them out on, but they're also going to be safe. And we have staff, too, that we want to make sure is safe throughout everything. So we kind of made a judgment call that it was too high and moving too fast for us to be on the Skunk today.
Despite spending less time on the Skunk than planned, Marquardt said AWARE wouldn't return to the river in the near future. She noted that this year's limited cleanup efforts would still benefit the watershed.
We move to a different river every year, and it's also the purpose of it is to move to a different watershed every year. So even though we are not on the skunk, we're still in the skunk watershed, and all of the programs we try to focus that on skunk watershed. So next year we would be on a different watershed, and we'll be on a different river, not the skunk, unfortunately.
A new state law allows county supervisors to set their own pay along with every other elected officials rather than waiting on recommendations from an advisory board. Washington County supervisors on Tuesday couldn't settle on what approach they would take moving forward. Board of Supervisors Chair Richard Young said the Compensation Committee offered political cover for tough decisions and helped avoid perceptions of county leaders as being too self-interested.
Well, we don't have a compensation board. We're totally on the spot.
Every year?
Every year. Every year we're going to decide what the elected officials get for a salary without input from anybody except for us five. My preference is we leave it alone.
Others, however, argued that Washington County's Compensation Board offered few checks or balances. Each member of the commission is hand-chosen by a different elected official, typically from their own personal network of friends. And the group's suggestions each year are not binding. Supervisors get the final say in any raises since they control all county budget allocations. Compensation Commission meetings are also usually held with little public notice. That makes their decision calculus sometimes a mystery to voters. Supervisor Jack Seward Jr. said a supervisor-led process might make things more transparent.
But if we did it ourselves, you could always, as a chair, call for a public hearing. And if we want to be transparent, then we can figure out what we want and then set a public hearing for it and have people come in and say what they think about our plans.
The board anticipates more public feedback on the matter before it reaches a decision. Here's Supervisor Marcus Fedler.
The governor signed it for a reason. We brought it to the attention of the governor for a reason. It was put in a bill for a reason. Maybe there's a large call for that sort of thing we're not aware of.
Current and former Richland residents gathered in the town's square last weekend for the city's homecoming celebration. The festival happens only once every 5 years and summons community members back to town from across the country. Sandy Greason and Brad Swartzwelter were among the many friends reunited over the weekend. They hadn't seen each other since 1982. Here's Swartzwelter.
To see so many young people shooting each other with water cannons and just having a ball reminds me of being a little kid shooting each other with water cannons and having a ball.
Sure.
So no matter how much things change, things don't.
Greason said the occasional return home offered snapshots of a community in change. Richland's old restaurant, newspaper office, and school building might be gone, but a mental health clinic, new daycare center, and a soon-to-open grocery store are all welcome changes for the locals.
Coming back in between now and then, it was sad to see, you know, the dissipation of the buildings and the businesses going out, but to see the revitalization is very heartwarming and, you know, fantastic.
Other transitions are harder to accept. The last graduating class of Richlands High School walked the stage in 1961. On Saturday, the school's Alumni Association held its last official meeting. The group cited its shrinking membership. Richland Alumni Association President Shirley Neese said she expected the outcome ahead of a vote by the former students, but she said it was still sad to see the tradition go.
Okay, it looks like that vote has it to disband. And it's a sad thing, really. It is. It's been going on for a long time. Seen a lot of alumni go through the doors, and it's going to be a sad thing. But we have two restaurants in town, and if you feel you want to get together with a few of your classmates, call them up and go have lunch at the restaurant. You can still visit and have a good time.
That's the local news. We'll be back with the best news I've heard all week right after this. Hey, unless you're one of our two unexplained listeners on other continents, you've probably been to Washington before. That means you've probably heard of Dodigi's. That means you've probably heard of the three-part lunch special they've got for $12.12. You're likely also familiar with the three-course dinner special for $21.12. And you've surely caught wind by now of half-off bottles of wine on Thursdays. But when's the last time you ate there? Lately, Dodici's has upgraded their outdoor seating, and they've added wine flights. Don't worry, if you're not one for new things, it's still as easy as ever to enjoy the beautiful view of Washington's downtown, selection of craft cocktails, and menu full of award-winning Italian cuisine. Thanks to Cafe Dodici for sponsoring the Washington Weekly Review. And now, the best news I've heard all week. For the first time ever, the Washington County Fair will feature a concert this year. Eli Alger and the Faster Horses will play their kickoff show at the Lion Stage at 7 p.m. on July 13. Admission to the event is free. Organizers said there would be concessions and a beer garden available. Fair board member Chris Graff said he was excited about the new event.
We're not set up to do, you know, like a Jones County Fair type deal, you know, to bring in a, you know, several hundred thousand dollars worth of equipment and acts to do something like that. So, you know, it's not like that's the end goal. It's more so to have, you know, some good entertainment, a good social event to kind of just get everybody together. And like I said, celebrate the fair, kick it off.
Thanks for tuning in. This show is a product of the Southeast Iowa Union. You can support us by buying an ad spot at 319-653-2191, or by sharing a link to this week's episode with a friend. We'll be all hands on deck at the Washington County Fair next week, so there won't be a new episode on the 20th. We should be back in your ears on July 27. That's all for now. This has been the Washington Weekly Review. I have been Kalen McCain. Have a great week, and I'll see you at the fair.